Nancy DeMoss Wolgemu says you can never go wrong by passing scripture on to the next generation.
When you are teaching your children the ways and the word of God, what you are saying to them is very, very important. It's weighty. It carries divine authority with it if you're teaching your children and your grandchildren the words of God.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For Monday, August 5th, I'm Dana Gresh. The Bible is a lot more than just a book telling us how to behave. First and foremost, it's God's revelation of Himself to us. His word tells us who He is, and then, based on His character, what He requires of us. Now, that doesn't mean the scriptures aren't practical. They're intensely practical, and the passage we're looking at in this series is no exception. Here's Nancy embarking on the series, To Be Praised, The Woman Who Fears the Lord.
I'm almost a little bit hesitant to tell you what it is we're going to be teaching in this next series, because over the last few weeks as I've been studying and women have asked me, what are you going to be teaching next on Revive Our Hearts? When I've told them that it's going to be a series on Proverbs 31, I've had almost uniformly the same reaction. It's something like eyes rolling or a gasp or a sigh or, oh, you know, I'm not sure that I want to sit through a whole series on Proverbs 31. And I can understand a little bit why people would have that reaction, but I have to tell you that I think that what has happened in me over these last few weeks as I've been studying is going to happen in you as a result of what God's going to do in our hearts through this series, these next days. I've just been soaking and getting saturated in what is becoming one of my very favorite passages in the scripture. And I want to encourage you over these next days to read Proverbs 31 for yourself. And as you do, you might just want to take a blank piece of paper or a journal, maybe something that you record your quiet time notes in, and just take notes about what God shows you from this passage. Not just from what I'm saying, but even more importantly, from what the Holy Spirit shows you as you're reading it for yourself. Jot down, here's what this says, here's what this means, and here's how God is applying this to my life. When we talk about Proverbs 31, we usually start at verse 10. And I'm not sure why that is. Maybe that's because that's where the part that is about women specifically begins. But I want to start with verse 1 and have us work through the entire passage, not skipping those first 9 verses. So let's look first at verse 1, which gives us the setting and the context of Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. The words of King Lemuel. Now, you won't find that name anywhere else in the Bible. There's no reference, if you go through Kings or Chronicles, you know, where all those kings of Judah or Israel are listed. There's no reference to a king, Lemuel. It occurs just here in the Bible. But there's an ancient Jewish tradition that identifies King Lemuel as the name that Solomon's mother gave to him. So thinking that this is perhaps actually King Solomon, and Lemuel being another name for him. And maybe this was just a fond name that his mother, Solomon's mother, had and called him Lemuel. If that's the case, and we don't know that it is or isn't, but I'd like to think that it might be. If that's the case, who would be the mother who's doing the teaching here? Remember who Solomon's mother was? Bathsheba. Which makes this just a very interesting passage considered in that light. The words of King Lemuel, perhaps King Solomon, the utterance which his mother, perhaps Bathsheba, taught him. Now, that phrase, when you put it with some others in Scripture, speaks to me of the incredible power and impact of a mother's teaching. Now, all the way through Proverbs, we have a lot of references to the teaching of a father. We don't have a lot of references to the teaching of a mother. One that comes to mind is in Proverbs chapter 1. So here we are in chapter 31 at the end of Proverbs, but in the first chapter of Proverbs, verses 8 and 9, we read, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." So the Proverbs tell us that both our father's instruction and our mother's instruction is something that can make us beautiful, can adorn us. It's an ornament we ought to make sure that we wear, and it will adorn us with grace and with beauty. So this is the utterance which King Lemuel's mother taught him. Now the word utterance, and in some of your translations, if you have the New International Version, I think it's the word oracle. It's the word that means a prophecy or an announcement of truth. This word utterance or oracle carries with it the sense of weightiness. It's something heavy. It's something important. Sometimes in other parts of the scripture, this word is translated burden. You read that in Malachi 1, the burden of the Lord. It's an important message that comes from the Lord. So these words that this mother taught her son are not just a mother's words. They're words that a mother got from the heart of God. And as a mother, you can know that when you are teaching your children the ways and the word of God, that what you are saying to them is very, very important. It's weighty. It carries divine authority with it if you're teaching your children and your grandchildren the words of God. These are, according to this verse, the words of King Lemuel, words that his mother had taught him. So apparently this king, now a king, is recalling some things that his mother had taught him years earlier when he was not yet a king, when he was a young prince, a king in the making. And if the king was Solomon, and if then the mother was Bathsheba, you can see that these words come from the heart of a mother who knew a lot about the grace of God, about the mercy of God. We think of this passage, Proverbs 31, as being this impossible standard of God's law that no one can keep. And yet, if Bathsheba was the woman who taught these words, she was a woman who knew a lot about the broken law of God and what it was that the grace of God could do to restore people who had broken God's law. She knew how God had taken her as a woman who had been greatly wronged, and perhaps who had sinned greatly herself. We don't know if Bathsheba was complicit in the sin with David, but certainly she had been wronged and potentially had failed herself in this matter, maybe both. Nonetheless, she had been restored. And God had made her fruitful, given her a son who would lead to the line of Christ, the Messiah. And here's a woman who had learned a lot from hard, painful, personal experience. And now she's teaching her son, this young prince who's going to be a king, she's teaching him the importance of things like faithfulness. Faithfulness as a husband. Faithfulness in a wife. Maybe she's, if this is Bathsheba teaching her son Solomon, then she's certainly teaching with some degree of remorse or regret that she and her husband had not lived out to the extent that they should have, the things that she's now going to teach her son. And you can just sense that here's a woman who doesn't want her failures to be reproduced in the next generation. So she's going to speak words of warning and caution and exhortation and pleading with him to take God's heart and God's words as his own and to live them out. So her husband, who'd experienced some serious consequences as a result of his adultery, she's saying now to this son, Solomon, there are a lot of things in your dad to emulate, but there's some that you need to avoid. Learn from our example. Learn from what we have learned the hard way, and don't repeat the failures of your parents. So she's speaking words of protection, caution, and then she's speaking words of preparation. Remember that when she spoke these words, her son was not yet the king. He was a young man, a prince, but she knew that one day he would be the king. And so she's helping to prepare her son for his future. She knows that he's going to have a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, that he's going to be a leader, that he's going to be a servant. And she's speaking words in this chapter to her son, who would be king, that are helping to prepare him for a lifetime of responsibility and leadership and service. She knew that one day he was going to sit on the throne. Now, maybe you're thinking as a mother, well, my son's not certainly going to be a king or a president or a ruler. And yet the scripture tells us that as children of God, we're all priests and kings to God. Your question ought to be, how can I best prepare my children for a lifetime of spiritual service? As kings and priests to God, to live as sons of God and daughters of God, as royalty, how can I prepare them to fulfill God's calling in their lives? Now, sometimes you'll do that by teaching, sometimes you'll do it by prayer, sometimes you'll do it by example, and we're going to see in this passage that this is a mother who has done all of these for her children. You want to prepare your children to live and to serve the King of Kings, and to live and serve themselves as kings and queens under God's authority. So the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, he's now speaking these words. He's remembering back to what his mother taught him years earlier. And aren't you glad, those of you who are still in the child-rearing years, to have this encouragement that your children will remember what you teach them? Now, you better make sure you're teaching them the right things, because they will remember what you're teaching them. You are teaching them something. And they're going to remember those lessons, and they're going to reproduce those lessons for better or for worse in the next generation. What do you want your children to remember about what you taught them? What do you remember about what your parents, your mother, taught you? What do you want to pass on to your children? What are you passing on to your children and to your grandchildren? What are you teaching them? And what do you want them to pass on to the next generation when you're no longer here? The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. She taught him. He grew up and taught others. And notice, by the way, she didn't leave all the training to the dad. He has a role, of course, of teaching and training, but this is a mother teaching. And I think that should be an encouragement for those of you whose husbands may not know the Lord, or may not be walking with God, or may not be actively committed to teaching the children. Now, of course, they have a calling and a responsibility, but don't assume that because your husband doesn't have a relationship with God, that you can't be actively involved in the training and the teaching and the discipling and the nurturing of your children. Either way, with or without a husband who is training your children, you have a calling and a responsibility to train your children, to protect them, to prepare them, to speak to them weighty words. Words that have the authority of God's word behind them, so that your children will be prepared and equipped to go and provide godly leadership in the next generation. She says in verse 2, "What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows?" Now, these sentences, unless you really take some time to dwell on them, meditate on them, they're not even complete sentences. And what we're getting here is kind of the groanings, the longings, the outpouring of a mother's heart, a mother who can hardly even finish her sentence. Not because she's not smart, but because this is coming from so deeply within her that she hardly knows how to express what she's feeling. It expresses the intensity and the passion of a mother's heart who's feeling love and tenderness and connectedness to this child who is her own flesh and blood. This is the child that she carried in her womb, that she feels a responsibility for this child. This is the son of her womb. Now, if this king was King Solomon, then the mother was Bathsheba. And if that is the case, then you remember Bathsheba had lost her firstborn son, the son who was born as the result of her illicit union with King David. And if that's the case, then you can imagine that her son Solomon was even more precious in her sight, because she'd already lost one child. And now she's crying out on behalf of this son of her womb, her own flesh and blood. And he's the son of my vows, she says. This is a picture of a woman who has dedicated her child to God. When I think of that phrase, a son of my vows, I think of another mother in the Old Testament. Her name was Hannah. She had longed for a child, prayed for a child, wept for a child, waited for a child. And then came the day when God blessed her with a child. And she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. He will be yours." He was the son of her vows. And we realize how important it is for mothers to recognize that their children are dedicated to God. I was just thinking over the last 24 hours of what it has meant in my life to know that from the womb I was set apart for God. That my parents realized they didn't own me. We children weren't their property. We were the children of their vows, that we were dedicated to God from the womb. And that gives to me, even as an adult woman, such a sense of responsibility, such a sense of mission and purpose in life that is to be fulfilled because I'm a child who's been given over to God from birth. That's what this mother is feeling. And she's expressing the intent of her heart to raise this child in the fear of the Lord. Someone has said, if there were more Hannahs, would there not be more Samuels? Great men of God, men who are spiritual leaders. If we had women, mothers, grandmothers who were dedicating their children to God and crying out to God on behalf of their children. So she says, what, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? It's as if she's saying, what shall I say? What shall I teach you? What shall I pass on to you? She wanted her son to come to know God and the ways of God. And she knew that she had a responsibility to show her son the ways of God, to communicate the heart of God to her son. And it's as if she's saying, what shall I say to him? Here's a woman who's taking very seriously her responsibility to train her son in the ways of God. And she's looking to God as if to say, Lord, show me what to teach this child. What are the key things you want to pass on to your children? If you couldn't teach them anything else, what would be the most important thing you could pass on to your son, to your daughter? And how can you best prepare your sons and daughters to be all that God made them to be? How can you best protect them for what they will face later in life? How can you best direct them into the plan that God has for their life? God has given those children to you. They're a sacred trust. They're a precious stewardship. And you have a responsibility to those children that is greater than your responsibility to anyone else on the face of this earth except for your husband. Thank you, Lord, for the mothers that we have had who've taught and trained us. Some of them godly mothers who've taught us directly from your word. And some women, perhaps with a mother who did not know you, but who still as a mother was teaching and training and just basic life skills and modeled some important things about what it means to be a successful man or woman. And we thank you for those who've trained us and taught us. And now, Lord, we pray that as women, you would show us how to teach and train the next generation. That we may raise up young men and women who will be kings and queens, spiritual royalty, who will provide spiritual, godly leadership for the next generation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth asking the Lord to raise up women who are willing to teach and train the next generation. In just a moment, you'll hear some stories about moms willing to look for teaching moments. They'll provide powerful examples of passing on God's truth to the next generation. But first, let me tell you how you can get a copy of a booklet by Nancy. It's called Biblical Portrait of Womanhood. In it, Nancy helps you discover and live out God's plan for you as a woman. This month, we're making this booklet available as a thank you for your donation to Revive Our Hearts. Just request Biblical Portrait of Womanhood when you give any amount at reviveourhearts.com or make your donation over the phone at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, Proverbs 31 tells us that the children of a virtuous woman will rise up and call her blessed. Nancy will teach on that verse in about 3 weeks or so. But to close this program on the power of a mother's teaching, we're going to hear from two listeners who were deeply shaped by their godly mothers.
One of my dearest memories of my mother goes back to when I was a young teenager, struggling with doubts about God and my salvation. I was so troubled I couldn't sleep at night, and I went up and I talked to Mom at about midnight. She spoke words of wisdom and was comforting to me, but once I got back down to my bed, the same old troublesome thoughts came back to haunt me. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, again I went back to Mom's bedroom. When I opened her bedroom door, I found her kneeling beside her bed. I knew she was talking to her father about me, and I knew that with a mom like that, everything would be okay. And I did find a solid, sure understanding of God and the confidence that I was his child. When I was in my later teens and very much in love with a godly young man, I again faced another great trial. The man who I thought I was going to marry got a bad electrical shock and it left him emotionally damaged. He no longer felt love for me, and after months of limping along in our courtship, he told me in a letter that he thinks we need to quit looking to each other as future companions. As I read that letter, I remember sitting at the kitchen table and crying my heart out. My dear mother was hurting because I was hurting, and she said, "Well, Sally, I'll always love you." What a comfort those words were at a painful time, and I knew they were true because she showed her love in many ways. The story has a happy ending, as my boyfriend got help from a Christian counselor, and we're about to celebrate our 23rd wedding anniversary, 23 wonderful years. Mom, you were there when I needed you, and now I want to be there when you need me. You have buried two sons from a dreaded disease. You have stood by a husband who has had his health failing and no longer seems like the man you said I do to. But you took your vows seriously and you are faithful. When many in the world would have given up and gone to seek their own pleasure, you stayed by the fire and did what you knew God wanted you to. I'll always love you, Mom.
My mom, her name is Donette Cohn. Her and my dad were married for 10 years, and she adopted my older brother. Then she had me, and she had my brother. And after 10 years of marriage, my dad met another woman and was going to leave. At that time, my mom was pregnant with my youngest brother. This didn't stop my dad from leaving. He still left. It led my mom with three kids and a baby on the way. The true tribute is through all of these things and all the turmoil that she was going through during the divorce and raising us four children as a single parent. The one important thing that she always taught us was about the love of God and about the stories of the Old Testament. And we would do Bible stories and we would have memory verses. We always went to church. We went to Bible studies on a Wednesday or Thursday night. I remember she always had her Bible wherever she was. She always was reading her Bible. And just her actions. She didn't try to go out and find a husband, or she didn't go out, young people might want, or try to find a life for herself. It was always about us children and the Lord. And she sacrificed. She didn't have any clothes. She always made sure us kids had some, you know, what we could have. The legacy she passed down to us was her love for God. And through all these things, he was always the most important thing. We all love my mom very much.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.